Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder.
I don't know about you, but I'm still riding high from our pool party.
It was pretty awesome. It was pretty great.
There's just something about being in bathing suits around other fat babes that, like, just different. Hits different.
It just doesn't, like, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Yeah. Like, when I was getting ready for the party, I was putting on a bathing suit, and I was like, oh, no, I don't think I want to wear this when I'm not comfortable. And then I was like, fuck it. If I'm not comfortable in it, I should wear it. That's the one I should wear because it's the time to, like, that nobody's going to care, you know?
I know. We had people DMing. Well, I had someone DMing me on my personal one being like, I don't think I'm going to wear, like, I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is the perfect time to try it out. And if you don't like it, then you don't wear it again. You know?
There were, like, people wearing bikinis for the first time. Like, it was great.
Taking photos in the bikini for the first time.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. I need more of it.
I know. And it was warm.
Yeah. Being in the water really got me excited for summer.
Oh.
So I'm such a water baby.
We're almost there.
I know we are. We are. Just need to figure out how to be in the water all the time. Maybe I'll go live with Jimmy Confetti so I can
at
just live
pool.
In his pool. Yeah, I mean, just be in his pool.
It's a nice pool. It's a big one. It's a big pool.
Jim, I'm coming over.
All the geriatrics.
Yeah.
They definitely don't care what you look like in a bathing suit. I'll tell you that. I've never gotten more compliments at that pool. Like, then at that pool. Yeah. Everyone's always like, I love your suit. I love your suit. I'm like, yeah, because you wear the same suit every day.
It's just all the old gays.
All the old gays, and all the old ladies, too.
Yeah.
Nice little mixture.
I love that.
Yeah. All the old gays are in Speedos still, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Good for them.
Yeah, because they don't give a fuck.
No.
Take a page out of that book.
Does your dad wear a Speedo?
No.
No, because he didn't do that before. So he's, like, in trunks still.
I mean, like, they're small, but they're not Speedos.
Okay.
Okay. Well, today we have an exciting guest.
I don't know why that just threw me off so much. I mean, she's very exciting, but
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. We haven't talked to her in so long, and last time we had her on, I had a full mental breakdown
about because you didn't want to delete an app because you were nervous about it.
Yeah,
and then you moved into your dating detox phase.
I did. So it's time to catch her up on that, and she has a new book coming out.
We're going to talk all about it. It's called Thank You More Please, A Feminist Guide to Breaking Dumb Dating Rules and Finding Love. And today we have on Lily Womble.
My goal is not to cry this time, you know, not to have a breakdown.
I'm pretty sure I cried too. So I don't think that this is exclusive to just you.
But that's my goal.
If you don't cry, great. If you cry,
great too.
There's safety in the room. I don't know.
Well, I feel like starting there is perfect because the reason Nikki went on a dating detox was because of you, Lily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and it's the first chapter of the book.
It's the first chapter of the book. Do you feel, how do you feel post dating detox? I mean, it was a while ago, but, like,
yeah, no, I went on almost like a year and a half dating detox. I don't want to say it's all you that did this, because the internet also did some of it too and made me hate people. But yeah, I used to be truly addicted to dating apps, and now I'm annoyed by them and act like I don't have any time in my life for them.
Real flip flop.
Real 180. Like,
great. Well, that is very different than the vibe we talked about the last time.
Yeah, I cried deleting an app because what if I would miss out on somebody? I've learned they're all still on there.
I think that's huge, to be honest. Like, this, like, they are still out there is kind of a revolutionary sentence for Nikki 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or a year ago.
Getting back on Bumble within the last couple of weeks, I was like, wait, I've seen all of these people. all of these people. And it made me really like start focusing on people in the wild, like, you know, at least trying to make connections. Good. I didn't really, you know, let's be honest, I didn't really make any connections, but I did flirt some.
Well,
and so,
yet, let's add a yet in that sentence.
Okay, yet.
I haven't yet. Yet.
Yet. Yes, yet. But like I'm saying during the detoxing, you know?
Yeah, totally. Gotcha.
Yeah. Just really focused on being on my own.
Well, I love that. And that I think the point of the book is hopefully that you shore up feeling so amazing, so like single on your own, there's nothing to fix. Both, and I hope that the next steps of the book also like give you some like, you know, empowering
like jumping points.
That, yeah. Like jumping off points after the detox.
I think, is that like why you decided you wanted to put it like in book form? Cause I feel like a lot of stuff, I mean, I did some browsing through the book. I haven't fully read it, you know, just to stay 100. But I did, I mean, I saw a lot of what you wrote are things that I've seen clips of, small snippets on your social. So was it that you just wanted to like expand on it? I mean, I also know you do courses. So was it just like expanding on that, or like what was the, I don't know, your overall goal with like writing it all down?
Yeah, well, I think that it was to reach more people, help more people. There are some people that will like do a program like the Brazen Breakthrough, where you'll get like daily coaching and you'll get like the coursework and you'll get like group coaching and all this stuff. Or there are some people who will listen to a podcast episode or will watch a TikTok video. And for those who want like something really actionable, I'm thinking of this book as like a guidebook.
Like a journal.
Yeah, like a journal, guidebook, roadmap, really. Mm-hmm. So every chapter can be turned back to and be like, you know, referenced when you're going through a tough dating scenario, when you are ghosted, or when you need to reject, you need to bless and release someone, or you're ready to put yourself out there after a hard breakup. Like, I wanted this book to be a reference guide for people to have a joyful as fuck dating life that sets them up to be in the best relationship of their lives. So I really just wanted that like in written form for people to turn back to again and again to support themselves through the dating process, which can be so isolating and lonely. And I hope this book feels like a best friend going through it with you. That is also giving some like tried and true steps, because these steps have worked for hundreds of people through my group coaching program.
I think like the big thing that I saw that I really liked was at the end of chapters where you had like, you did have like journaling prompts or like tips. And I, cause I think like, I mean, we've had a lot of people, experts and stuff come on the show, confidence experts, you know, all these. And I feel like there are, we get like a lot of tips, but sometimes it's sort of like, how do I put all of this together? And I think that's where, I mean, I even trip up. I'm kind of like, yeah, I need to be confident, but what do I do after that? You know, sort of like, what's the next step? Okay. Like confidence, I got 100%. It now. What do I do with that? So I really like that part of it.
Thank you. I call it messy homework because I so often with high achieving feminist humans who I'm writing to, it can be very easy to get stuck in perfectionism and never do anything because everything feels overwhelming. You know, it's like, okay, cool. You're telling me to practice self-compassion. Okay, cool. Okay. You're telling me to like go out there and like be confident. Cool. How do I do that? And so I really wanted these messy homework sections at the end of each chapter to give you like direct guidance. Like here are three action steps I want you to take, and I want you to do it messy and imperfectly on purpose, because you're going to make so much more progress toward the right relationship, towards feeling amazing about yourself in your dating life and in the right relationship ultimately, if you just start doing messy shit that is a little more courageous than shrinky.
Starting is always the hardest part.
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, this here, like there's one chapter at the end, I give a bingo card. It's called like in-person dating bingo. And so if you rip out this page, and you can also go to like, I give you like the URL to print it out yourself if you don't want to rip out a page of the book. But I wrote in the thing, like rip out this page of the book, put it on your fridge. And is a whole bingo square about like, if you do each of these bingo items in the next month, you will have an in-person dating life. Like you will. Yeah.
Okay.
Making
And
it fun.
yeah.
Hopefully.
Bingo is so
We
fun.
love to win, you know?
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
freaking love
absolutely.
bingo.
I
I
do
would love to
too.
meet someone at bingo. That would be ideal.
Honestly, joy building. You need this, Alex. You need to
I
go to a
know.
bingo.
I was looking at the joy building thing. I really liked that. You're right. It
Yes.
was like when you are finding things that make you happy, you like go there to like find attract those kind of people in your life. That
Yeah,
would be
and
a good one
even
for
if
me
you,
because so much of my stuff is so
yes.
feminine. Not like
Right.
I think that's a hard thing. It's sort of like, what are things that I really like to do? And it's like, well, I love to watch Bravo. like how are, what do I find? I mean, like pickleball is a good one because there's like a
Yeah.
lot of like dudes that also like to do pickleball. This is because I like to date men. Sorry. I wish that wasn't.
No, you, why are you apologizing?
Because they suck.
It's people suck. It's not just
Yeah, I
them.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're worse though. Okay, I
Well,
do
it's
have one.
hard when, I mean, we
Go
could
ahead.
talk about how it's difficult to, like imagine dating men people when your experience in the past has been largely negative.
Yeah, that's
You
true.
know, like that's that of course, like self-compassionately, like of course you have that thought of like, unfortunately, I want to date men because in the past I've met a lot of people who like did not even hit the bar, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so,
Hit the
of
bare
course it would
minimum.
feel a little daunting, both and that's why I really am excited for you or anybody who wants to dive into this book is to like really shore up your essence-based preferences to like settle proof your brain and then to go out and do the Thank You More Please Challenge to gather evidence that like those kind if you date
Yes,
men,
yeah.
those kind of men exist.
I did do a like a my gosh, what was it, Nikki? Speed dating. And after that,
Yes.
remember, I did like say, like, I walked away and I was like, the one thing that was really helpful about that was like, everyone was very kind. And I was like, oh, there are like nice guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, that was really nice and like life affirming, you know, where you like do
Yes.
these. And I think it is because the dating apps just like suck the personality out of everything. So it's sort of like, then we just start to think like every guy is just like, boring or like can't hold a conversation or
Says good, you?
yeah, it's like very like lifeless.
Yuck.
So I think like
Yeah.
doing stuff in person does help because you're like, oh wait, yeah, people can be interesting. You just
Yeah,
like are in the
absolutely.
wrong place finding, you know, like
Yeah.
everyone is on those apps like just kind of like watching TV and not really
Yeah.
focused, you know, so it's like
Absolutely.
hard to find like personality there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was really helpful and similar to stuff you talk about.
Well, I think that this is, I mean, why dating apps super suck is because for one of many reasons is because cognitive overload is so real and we're given way too many options. Like same with TikTok or any app. It's just like do you ever have those moments on TikTok where I do at least, where you're like, whoa, I'm really tired and I'm not actually my brain hurts. Like my head hurts from swiping so much, but like my body is still drawn in, like I'm looking at the eye and Lord of the Rings, the like Eye of Mordor. Like it's like, oh, looking at the thing. And so, of course, my higher functioning shuts down when I'm in cognitive overload, when I have too many options at my disposal. And that's when like it's time to kind of gently reparent myself and set a boundary and say, like, okay, Lily, you really know that it's time to put it down. And then when you are more available, proactive boundaries like blessing and releasing all of the lifeless conversations without indulging any of them really helps to, like combat any cognitive overload or confirmation bias that you might have been in of like, see, there's another person who doesn't want to have a real conversation. Like really getting in front of that, being like, okay, so I bless and release them instead of being like, see, there's more proof that no men or no women or
Exactly.
no people are going to be right for me. Does that make sense?
100%. I've started deleting the convos. Like, if I just feel
Good.
like they're not going anywhere, I'm like, it's not worth it having here.
Yeah.
Because like what's gonna happen? Like they're gonna come
Yeah.
back around. Why? Who cares? So just
No.
deleting, I feel like is so
Yeah.
much better.
Okay, so tell me about your when you want to go to the Bravo things. Have you ever done like a Bravo watch meetup?
yes, but I don't actually love doing them because I like to watch it in my house when I can hear it.
But I can also tell you, as people, as somebody who's hosted those kind of things, there's only women there. There's no men there. So it's
Okay,
not.
so what I'm gonna say then is like, how are we? And y'all are doing great. There's no like, I'm just like talking about what's in the book.
Yeah.
The point of joy building, in part, is to like meet people you're attracted to. Sure, that it brings you, that you're a space where it brings you joy, whatever. Then the other part is like, but there's nobody I'm attracted to. What the fuck do I do? Or like, what's the point of joy building if I'm not meeting people I'm attracted to? The point is to increase your expand your social circle.
Mm-hmm.
And to then intentionally bring people along for the ride as co-conspirators.
Right.
And be like, hey, do you have anybody you could set me up with? You're not allowed to say no. Like, let's think about this. Let's actually like come to the table with some ideas. Like when you're comfortable with a new friend, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to throw out there.
Yeah. See, you're not allowed to say no is what needs to be added, because I have said like recently, like people I'm meeting or different things. Oh, do you have, like, I'm dating, like I'm open. Do you have anybody? And they're like, oh no, I have nobody. Like it's you're not allowed to say no, because like there are people. They mm-hmm. have people. It's just right. Like,
if they're not looking for themselves, they're not looking out there for you mm-hmm. necessarily. They're not like looking for somebody they could ask, hey, are you single? Like, what's bringing you joy lately? Like, oh my God, I have a friend. Can I introduce you? Mm-hmm. They're not doing that because people are selfish. So instead of being like, you actually don't not know anybody, like, why don't we actually like think of creative solutions together? Can open up opportunities.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. One question about the feminist part of your whole, I don't know, mantra or whatever.
Yeah.
The book is called A Feminist Guide. Do you feel like feminism, I think, gets a hard rap. Like there's like a lot of people don't like the word anymore, or they like say they're not a feminist. Like, what do you say to those people who like
Good
maybe
God.
Are turned away from that word?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different ways to be turned off by the word feminist, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the trad wife way, which we can bucket and talk about, totally discuss. There's also the, you know, white feminism that a lot of people of color, women of color, black women, brown women, and femmes who are really fighting against the whitewashing of feminism, which is why, you know, a lot of people have gone to the word womanist or human, you know. So when I'm talking about, and that's another conversation and another like group of people who are turned off by that word because of the inherent whitewashing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I am for those listening, I am a white woman with a ton of unearned privilege in this world and cisgender woman. And so I would just say that this book is striving. I am striving always to be intersectional with my feminism, which is a term coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, who is a leading scholar of critical race theory and obviously intersectionalism, which basically means like you got to acknowledge the other ways that oppression is impacting people, not just like how women are oppressed and how, you know, men are doing the oppressing. It's like, we've got to talk about how racism, how ableism, how homophobia, how transphobia all intersect with one another to create a hot soup of shit for so many people, especially in dating.
Mm-hmm.
Because dating is a microcosm of every hope, joy, dream, fear, insecurity, desire that we have as humans. So by, you know, coming at this from what I hope is an intersectional feminist lens, I really want this book to be a tool to liberate yourself from the bullshit in the dating world that doesn't serve you and doesn't serve your love life. Like the rules that tell you to be more in your feminine that just are telling you to shrink.
Yeah.
Or like be more, you know, want less because you're being too picky. Like, let's unlearn that bullshit that is rooted in patriarchal ideals.
Mm-hmm.
Both. And I do think that this book gets to be a permission slip for everybody to like start empowering other people to want what they want, start empowering other people to unlearn the rules that no longer serve them. And that way, a liberating force for communities as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay. The trad wives who are turned off by the word feminism.
I mean,
where are we in time and space?
I don't know. Like, I somehow got on this side on Instagram, I had to start like saying like not interested, because I feel like you watch one, right? And you're like, wait, is this gonna be like a
Morbidly
joke?
curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was like a joke, and then I realized it wasn't, because it was like someone making like something for their husband, and I was like, oh, that's gotta be a joke. And because it was something really intense, and like she had to be outside, like I think she was making like chocolate. I'm not
Oh.
even, I don't know. It was very intense. Anyway,
I
I was,
started with like the Nara Smith tick, like
I don't know what
her.
that
And she's not a trad wife, but she, no, she's you know Bluey Smith, the model. Oh, it's this most aesthetically pleasing company or like couple, and they have so many kids. They're models. And but she likes to cook. And so she cooks
Yeah.
everything. And then some I started on her, and then it turned into trad wife.
It's a slippery slope.
I know, I had to, and then I got,
Slippery
and then
slope.
I was doing the morbidly fascinated thing, you know, where you're, and then I was
Yeah.
like, I have to start, because then it started giving me religious content, and I was like, I gotta stop this. I don't need
Well, there.
someone telling me that like Christ wants me to be subservient to men, you know what I mean? Because
Oh my God.
that's what
Well,
was starting to come up.
that was my whole growing up in
Yeah.
Birmingham, Alabama, is going to weddings where a woman would promise, like I would be there as a 12-year-old, be like, this doesn't seem right for a
Right.
woman to be pledging to be subservient to her husband for the rest of her life. This doesn't seem right. And then it was like directly connected for me to seeing women dying on the vine of their romantic relationships with men every single day.
Yeah.
So seeing that direct one-to-one of like vowing to be subservient means that you will be in a marriage where you do not get your needs met, you don't get and my young baby brain was like, oh, maybe that's just what relationships are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then seeing, you know, I talk about this in the book, but do y'all remember that moment in the Oscars when Ben Affleck won an Oscar for Argo and he and Jennifer Garner were still together at the time? I remember this vividly.
Did he not
And
say her
he was,
name?
no, he did,
Oh,
but it was
okay.
like sweaty and it was like, I just want to thank my wife for working on our marriage for 10 Christmases. It's hard work, but
Well, I don't
it's
remember
must
that at
work and
all.
there's nobody I'd rather work with, you know? And I write about this in the book because it just added fuel to the fire that like the only thing you can say about your marriage is that it's hard on this international stage. Like, ooh, wow. Like, what
Yeah.
is that saying about what romantic relationship
Right.
is?
Right.
So I do think that a feminist guide or an intersectional feminist guide means really unlearning the narratives that marriage or relationship has to be arduous at all.
Right. Right. I
So
mean,
what
I
is
think
it?
a lot of what you say is going to sound really controversial to a lot of people, because like you're telling people to be pickier. You're telling people, I mean, like not settling for bare minimum, I don't think is controversial, but I think fat women have been told like, yeah, you should take the bare minimum. That's what you deserve. So I don't think it's like, it is kind of controversial for us to hear it, you know, where it's
Yeah.
been something that we've been told by even our mothers or people, your grandmothers, you know, sort of like, well, I mean, if you're going to stay in this body, like,
Oof,
you know,
yeah.
be picky. You can't be as picky. So, I mean, do you find that people are like, oh gosh, like, ooh, you're
Yeah,
making me
Pete.
uncomfortable when you're telling me to like be less or be pickier?
Be more picky.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a ton of follow-up questions, usually, if they don't immediately swipe away. Because I'm not, I mean, when I go viral specifically on TikTok, which happens once in a blue moon,
Right.
I know y'all go viral all the time. It comes with its bag of weird and difficult,
Yeah.
you know. I'm not saying anything revolutionary, but I get so many people who disagree so hard with me in the
Yeah.
comments. They're like, you're wrong. This isn't possible for me. It's never going to be possible for me. And at some level, I'm just going to back up and say, like, how are you willing me to be wrong? Because the vulnerability of asking for more is too scary for you.
Yeah.
You know, to the moms out there who've told us to want less, my mom told me, and I write about this in the book too. I share a lot of like very intimate stories, which that's also interesting to think about in a different way than TikTok, right? Like it's a book and my intimate stories about my ex and losing my, having sex for the first time and being rejected so heavily for most of my growing up by men specifically. Like it's all in there. So you'll get, whoever reads will get a lot of stories from my perspective being my own first client, but I digress. So my mom told me when I was 12, you're too much and you're going to have a hard time finding a husband. And I was trying to do the calculus of like, okay, why would you tell me this so young? Am I that broken? Why? And it was repeated pattern. And then it was like, oh, well, maybe this is my lot in life and I just really have to tone it down in every single relationship that I am going to be in. I have to be less picky because I'm the problem. And I found out years later when talking to her as an adult that she was told that by her brother, who was a decade and a half older than her. And so it was this intergenerational trauma that I get to now like learn about and hopefully break, for me and any, person that I want to have later on in life, like a child, if that happens. I think it'll happen, but who knows? But to the point of moms telling you to be less picky because you're for the body that you're in, I would say just like, let's look at their lens, and how they've learned fat phobia and how painful is that? Like being told by my mom that I'm too much, like that was really, really painful and shitty. And stayed with me. So like, of course, I dealt with feeling insecure for a lot of my young adulthood and into adulthood because of that legacy. And so this is really courageous and worthy and hard work of like unlearning the narratives that were passed down to you and acknowledging like what their lens was when they gave that to you, and then figuring out like, how am I going to rewrite this for myself?
And all of it is so based in patriarchy, which I think like is, why it's also important that it's from this feminist lens. Like so much of what our mothers were telling us was because of their experience in the patriarchy given to them by other men, right? Like, so this isn't just like they were trying to give you like a blueprint of what their lives were like. I mean, like things have changed so much, but like so much has stayed the same too. So, I mean, obviously going through like being told that you're too big or that you need to be smaller or you need to shrink or whatever, is hard. But I think like once I started seeing like, okay, I see why like they were doing it, because they have their own issues was helpful. But I mean like
Still painful.
therapy, yeah, therapy. A lot of
Still
group therapy with
Yeah.
my dad. But yeah, it's hard, the controversial stuff.
Yeah, I honestly don't. I think the book, like who knows? A lot of people will disagree with me, and that's totally okay. I think that the thought that I have going into this, and that I want to give to everybody dating, is like you're for the few, not for the many. Like you're on this planet to connect with the people you're meant to connect with, and the rest are just noise. Which is also why it's difficult to have a dating app at your disposal, because you have so much access to the wrong people for you all the time. So you gotta set the boundaries to be like, okay, I'm gonna release them. I'm gonna release them times a thousand, and I'm gonna find the few who are right for me.
I mean, oh, I like I feel like I appreciated dating apps in the past because I did meet some like really great people from them. But I do think that like opening up, I mean, we already live in a huge city where there's like a lot of opportunity to meet a lot of different people, right? But it's like now it opens it up too much, and then the choice stuff is just so hard, and it just makes the rejection harder because you're being rejected so often, like over and over and over, especially if you're on a dating app and you're really trying and you're trying to go on like, I don't know, some people two, three dates like a week or whatever. It's like
That's
you're
a
just,
lot.
I know. And it's like you're opening up yourself for like so much hurt and rejection because, and I don't think that's really that normal either. Like,
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. So when older people say like it must be so much easier to date because there are dating apps now, I'm like, apps actually it's the opposite. It's like you have more access to rejection. And so, you know, I think that, you know, events like the ones that y'all throw for your community, like your pool party that we just referenced before we hit record that happened the other day. I don't know when this is coming out, but like those kind of moments of connection and belonging are so necessary for anyone who is dating that I think people overlook that need and that human, like that human nature need to be in belonging in community, especially if you're doing something so vulnerable as dating. And that's why I think y'all are like truly doing life-changing work by hosting these meetups and events is because people need that so much. If they're just living on the planet, but especially if they're dating too.
Yeah, and dating when you feel othered like by society, I think is definitely, I mean, it makes it just like that tiny bit much harder. So it's like nice to be able to have people to talk to who like have also been there. Yeah, I think it's really helpful. So I know there was one chapter about like releasing old patterns, which I feel like
Releasing that shit.
yeah.
That's what it's called.
Can you expand more on releasing old patterns? Because I think that is like probably the hardest thing for most people who've been dating for a really long time to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was attracting the same emotionally unavailable people again and again and again. I actually, and I talk about this in the book, except I don't think this is an exclusive for Swipe Fat.
Oh,
I
okay.
attracted literally three or I hadn't had sex in my mid, it was in my like mid-20s at this point, and from 21 to 25, I had three or four men in a row who offered to, like, they were like, I would love to like have sex with you. Like, it was very very weird formal vibes, from dating apps and from in person as well. And then all three or four of them, then the next day or the next day, were like, I changed my mind. Literally, it happened that many times.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm stuck in a haunted house. I
Yeah.
literally, I was stuck in a haunted house of people who are rejecting me very intimately. It feels like I just wanted to have some fun, casual connection that was rooted in some emotional connection as well. So, how to release those stories first, you have to create like a love, I recommend creating a love life timeline. So, like going back to, and I walk this through in the book of how I did this for myself and how my clients did this for themselves, but basically going back to the first time you learned about romantic love. Instead of just being like, oh, well, it started with this relationship. No. It probably started like it did for me when I was in first grade. This guy in first grade asked me out at the lunch table, and I was like, huh? And then he was handed $5 from another boy at the table and was like, haha, you think I would ever ask you out? That's so
Ugh.
funny. You're so dumb, or whatever it
Yeah.
was. And I was like petrified at this table with these boys laughing at me. And then that was just the beginning of this, like, why would I ever like you story. And then that led to, like, when I was in middle school and I had the biggest crush on this guy. Oh my God. Like, oh my God. He was so hot. I was like so in love with this guy. And as much as I could be in sixth grade. And then gym was in the middle of the day, which was a true crime. Like,
Yeah, so
truly a
rude.
true crime. Terrible. My mom also was only buying me Tom's of Maine deodorant
Oh
at the
no.
time. Another true crime.
Yeah.
And
Especially
so
during
I,
puberty.
oh my God, in the middle of the day, you know, and so I'm sitting and I'm seated next to this guy I have a giant crush on. And I look over at him and the whole class is looking at us and he's going, like,
No.
PU, like making a stinky gesture and like pointing at me to everybody in the class. He, by the way, was super popular. And I was paralyzed. A cold rush of water went through my body. And I looked at him and I was like, you think I smell bad? And he was like, so embarrassed that he couldn't look me in the face. And he looked down and he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, okay. And I turned around and and then a couple weeks later, the popular boys, including him, had brought Axe to school, Axe body spray. and they were spraying it on the other girl in class who they thought smelled bad.
Oh my
And then
God.
later on, I realized that they had sprayed it all over me and my books and my things.
My God.
It was so traumatic.
Yeah.
And it was like doing that, I didn't realize that my pattern of attracting people that didn't want to be with me or who were like emotionally unavailable stemmed from these younger
Yeah.
like things that had happened that had broken my brain. You know, like our brains have this thing called the reminiscence gap,
Yeah.
reminiscence bump, where during puberty, during middle school time especially, our brains are like knitting together the memory center in a certain way to where those memories feel a lot more intense and vivid. I think that to unlearn these patterns and to attract something different next time, we first got to do the love life timeline, but not with self-blame and shame. You have to approach it with a self-compassionate lens and really caring for that version of yourself who first felt rejected or first felt like othered, and really going and being with her for a little while compassionately will start to heal that. Because what's happening in adulthood, for me at least, I was fighting that pattern. I was fighting that story. I was fighting the you're too much narrative. But really, what I needed to do to heal it was to turn on the light, right? Really go back and see what was happening when I first learned these stories. Reparent her a little bit or a lot. Just like be with her for a while, get to know her and her needs and her fears and all those things, and then come back into the present moment with that, just sort of more holistic care for myself. And then you move on after, like, heal. And that's what helped me heal the You're Too Much story is really like coming to grips with where it first started, having compassion for where it first started, having my own back and not abandoning myself through that acknowledgement of the stories. And then it gets into like claiming what you want in the future with essence-based preferences. That's the next chapter. So it doesn't just stop at like acknowledging or compassion. It's like then like now what? You know, now how are you going to settle-proof these decisions by knowing what you want, writing it everywhere in a way that is not rigid, but also not too vague. Coming in the middle with like, what's the essence of the person that I want to be with? How do I feel in their presence? What values, what personality traits? What do they do in their spare time? Like capturing the picture of them will allow you to like tune in with your body when you're on dates to know like, okay, am I feeling the way I want to feel? Great, let's keep going. Am I not feeling the way I want to feel? Cool. Is it that they're not showing up in the way that I need? Great, that's a bless and release. You know, so it becomes more. I'm very type A, so I love a system. So creating a
I am
system to
too.
settle proof your love life really is life changing, or it was for me and my clients.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm like even trying to think of what mine is, and I feel like I already feel like I know like the start of it. Yeah. So that's crazy.
How does that strike you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like you already know. But you're not like thinking of it from like that like long ago. But yeah, I think it was definitely like a like I had and it was like one girl too. I feel like this is like for both of them. I dated this guy in 8th grade and she had also dated him. So obviously this is like a jealousy thing. But I mean, when you're in 8th grade, I don't think you're really thinking of it that way. It was sort of like, well, like he picked you because like you no one else. Like he's gone through everybody else basically vibes. So it's sort of like, well, you're like he's like hot, but like you're not type vibe. But same thing with my high school boyfriend. We went to high school together and I remember we went to an all girls school. So like my boyfriend would come to my volleyball games and she would always like, no one wore makeup. Okay. We're in an all girls school. No one wore makeup. You don't like dress up to go to school. Everyone's like looking pretty slobby. Like, I would wear the same thing every day. I would just put it back on my body and go to school. She would like dress up for the volleyball games. And one time even asked me for makeup because he was coming to the game. And I was like, that's my boyfriend. Why are you asking me for makeup? And she's like, because I think he's hot and I want to talk to him. And I was like, the fuck? That's weird. But it's still like this vibe of like, well, you're not good enough for him, but I am, you know? So I think that's been like sort of this like story that I've like told myself, sort of like you're not good enough for these guys that you date?
Yeah. But I,
Because you were told that. And not just by her. I mean, she's just like the very like obvious entity who like said it out loud.
Right.
You know?
Well, and first of all, that's a bummer.
Yeah, she did take him to prom too. She,
that bitch.
She's a see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
No.
I know. She even asked me if it was okay. And I was like, no, because like we broke up and he, like, we go to an all girls school, go find someone else. Like, you don't even know him. That's weird. And she took him anyway. Yeah. And I was like, cool. Like, there's 50 girls in our class. Like, I don't have to see him ever again. That's the beauty of like going to an all girls school. Yeah. Like, and he lived far away too. It wasn't like he wasn't close by. So it wasn't even like, you know, that a guy sucks. Who like went to a local school or something. I know.
Well, I think acknowledging that sucks. Second of all, I would say that, you know, the thing that happens in our brain is like confirmation bias, right? So for you, for me, these two inflection points happen, right? But it doesn't mean that between those inflection points, there isn't a massive amount of data that our brain is collecting to prove that survival story right. Because ultimately, both of our like stories that we gleaned from those experiences where we're not to be the one who people are into. That's not allowed. Yeah. It's not safe to trust that somebody would be into us, because then you'll be made a fool of, right? Like, so our brains are gathering that data. And then into adulthood, that's why I think so many people leave those stories unchecked, because they just become the truth of your brain after practicing and gathering that data just to be safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that resonate?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And so I would just say to that little baby version of Alex, like middle, like elementary school and high school, was that the vibe? Middle school and high school? That like she was right. That wasn't okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't okay. And you were right. You don't have to gaslight yourself anymore to believing that like that meant something about you, that like they were being shitty.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know it, but it's hard to like then unlearn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think you can acknowledge something and like also know it. Like also when you're in between relationships or like not dating, I'm like, oh my God, I'm amazing. And then it's like I feel like the doubt starts coming in when you're either like talking to someone seriously, or for me anyway, this is for me. Or you're like starting that online journey again, you know, the dating online thing. Where you're kind of, that's where it like starts to seep in again, because you're like getting that confirmation from like people not talking to you, or people rejecting you, or people unmatching you, or whatever, because then you're kind of like, oh shoot, it's happening.
Right. Can I offer what I would do in that case? Plan for your brain to freak out. Like build in a plan, like be like, I expect this to happen. This is not going to be magically different. My brain is still a human brain. I still am unlearning these stories. And so then like having a plan literally on paper of like, when I hear the thought, see, you're not good enough, or like, see, it's not possible for you. Here's what we've done in the past that has brought us comfort, created emotional safety. Cause what's happening is your body in those moments of, oh my God, are they rejecting me? Oh my God, is this happening again? Your body may be going into like flight, freeze, or fawn mode. So triaging a support plan instead of like the toxic positivity of like, it's going to be different, or it is possible. Shut up. Don't have hopelessness, like whatever. No, just have a plan. These are thoughts, not facts. These are valid feelings, but they're not facts. Like, so let's create a plan to move through that with compassion.
Yeah.
Self-compassion reduces cortisol and increases resiliency, which are two things you need to heal that old pattern and story.
Agreed. I like that.
Yeah. Not just magnesium, like TikTok says, for our cortisol levels.
Well, that's the like second half of the book is just like all a magnesium supplement advertisement.
Yeah. I figured.
Like an in-person dating plan, magnesium.
Magnesium.
Online dating plan, magnesium.
Yeah.
Obviously, just kidding.
Just kidding. But buy my magnesium.
But buy it.
But
it's
my affiliate
$20.
link is in the link of
Can you imagine if you actually had like thank you more please magnesium?
Oh my, well, don't put
next
it,
level.
The next level vertical integration. No, absolutely not. I do want to have thank you more please merch just to remind people of like a t-shirt, like a like something to be like, this is a joyful reminder that like there are thank you more pleases out there. No, and maybe not. Maybe I won't do merch. Maybe I will. We shall see. But definitely not magnesium supplements.
Not magnesium.
Definitely not going to sell out that way. No. Yeah, for sure.
Because magnesium's trendy, and your book, the guide, isn't trendy.
I hope that it's evergreen. I hope that it's a book that, you know how like what dating books were in the zeitgeist when y'all were in like high school, college. I remember like Why Men Love Bitches.
He's just
like,
not that into you.
He's just not that into you. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. Mm-hmm. Like all of these like perennial.
Think like a man. What's that one?
Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Less.
My friend reads that every year. I'm going to send her your book for real. I am. Yeah. She like.
You know what? She's found something that brings her comfort. I
sure.
Guess.
I think it's the like, isn't it a lot of like living in your feminine? Isn't that what that book is like about?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, here's a male perspective on, you know, what you should be doing.
Yeah. I think it's
I
a lot of
to
those TikToks
dive into that
where
text.
Men are like, you know, coming on and being like, if you think he's not into you, you're right. I think it's a lot of that. Like his
yes.
Steve Harvey's
yeah.
book. Because he does less. Uh-huh. Tough love on his show, doesn't he, with like women?
Yeah.
I've never actually watched a Steve Harvey show.
I've only seen clips, but
have you seen a Family
Feud?
Family
does?
Feud. I love
Family
Feud.
That's what I know.
But I also am like, why are we taking dating advice from Steve Harvey? Like I don't really get it. So I hope this book becomes the book that our generation and the generation like next, like it becomes the zeitgeisty book that's like a much more empowering, joyful, permissive, feminist movement of that stops shrinking in its tracks. Because I think that that's what a lot of people are doing now to survive. And we got to find a different path forward if we're going to get what we want, you know?
100%. I mean, if you are on dating talk, it is a lot of like, live in your feminine, let the man be a man. It's a lot of that. Or complaining. Cause I feel like we do like, you know, we're on dating TikTok because our show is about dating. We get a lot of people who are like, you guys just complain a lot. And it's sort of like, well, I don't know if you know how TikTok works, but it's a lot of like little bites to try to get you to come in. And it's like, we don't just complain, but does our Instagram and TikTok seem like it's a lot of complaining? Yeah, probably, because we're trying to like find the thing that like whatever that like gets you to come in, right?
I think that yes, and the struggle is a connection point, you know, for so many people. And I think that there's got to be a space for venting here, because this is extraordinarily difficult, this thing that called dating in 2024 and beyond and before. Both. And I do think that the TikTok is an echo chamber. Obviously, I'm not saying, again, not saying anything new, but like, it's an echo chamber, because if you see, like, some of my clients are like, I just thought everybody was like talking about how dating sucked, people sucked, men sucked, women sucked all the time because I liked a video. And then that's what, you know, and I hope that my aim with all of this is like to hold the space for that this is difficult as hell. And also like, how can we break this pattern for you of attracting more of the same? So I think it's a both and.
Yeah. I mean, I like to comment and like a lot of content where it's people who are in love, even though it does sometimes make me sad, because it's like helpful to know that that's like a thing. I found this, I'm not getting married anytime soon, but I found this plus size bridal boutique and I followed them because it has their love stories of all of these plus size women who are getting married.
In Chicago?
No,
is it the
they're
one
in
Milwaukee?
No, they're in Jersey or New York or somewhere. And it's just like beautiful videos of like these people in their gorgeous dresses with their husbands or wives. And it's just nice to see, you know, someone happy and in a larger body, because I don't think you like see that a ton, right?
Thank you more, please.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, I'm following a bridal boutique, but I'm not even dating someone. But it's so that I can
drop what it. Do you remember the name?
I'll tell Nikki to put it. Well, you know what? I can find it. Hold on. I did save it because I was like,
I mean, the audience needs to know.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Ivory and Maine, the curvy godmothers.
Oh,
in Port Jefferson and Sayville, so Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you, Ivory and Maine.
They followed me back. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Maybe someday they'll give me a dress.
Maybe someday you'll need that dress.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm manifesting it as an actual need for a wedding dress, not just the wedding dress for no reason. Yeah.
No, but I love, okay, so just pausing there, how fun to be in that like vision, you know, for yourself of like, I maybe, and I also like that this is just like a microcosm of, I think, like how to break the pattern and how to get into a little more hopeful place with dating. Not to say that you always have to be hopeful, we're human beings, but this idea of like, maybe if your brain doesn't believe it will happen yet, because that can sometimes feel heavy of like, it will happen, it will happen, it will happen. That can be a heavy load. So starting your brain off really in a baby step to believing that, to maybe it will happen. It might be possible that that happens. It might be possible that I haven't met everyone yet. It might be possible that, right, to get in your like a little more possibility mode. I loved that.
Yeah, I know. I find it so easy to manifest like other things, and this is the thing that gets me stopped up, you know. It's like, it is baby steps. I was just talking to like this person who calls herself like a master manifester, and she was like, I mean, I also am not in a relationship. She's like, it's like one of the hardest things to like manifest is like the right relationship too, not just like anything, right? Because you can be manifesting just like the wrong stuff too. Like, that is definitely a thing. Maybe we should have her on, but you know, it's just like, it's she's like, it's something that you have to like, you just don't like one day start like, okay, yeah, it's happening. It is like a lot of like changing your mindset and just like you said, like, I'm, because I was with her, like, we went to dinner, so we were together a whole night, and I said a few things where she was like, instead of saying maybe, you can't say maybe, like, just say like it's gonna happen, and then that like changes your mindset instead of like saying maybe or oh like someday, you know. It's like, no, just say like you know, blah blah blah, in the future this is gonna be what happens for me. But it's like, takes a long time to stop saying maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I totally hear that. In my experience with like retraining our neural pathways to actually believe it will happen, for me and for my clients, baby steps can be helpful in terms of like, it might be possible, I don't know everything yet.
Yeah.
It may feel attainable, and then you can practice that until it feels like a no duh. And then you take the next step to like, it is possible, or, you know, it, I don't know everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I think baby steps is helpful.
But I also think watching your language.
Master one.
Well, I think that the, I think that there's room for everybody.
100%.
That I think manifesting can be so powerful and in, like a very empowering way to change your brain to then attract more.
Yes.
That's why I like the Thank You More Please challenge, because it's an actionable way to gather evidence that what you want exists without just trying to force your brain to believe. You know?
Yes.
So yeah.
We had someone on who talked about like going out and actually looking to see that there are like couples out there that don't like look like traditional, meaning like if you go to the restaurant, look at all the different couples and like, are they all what we would see on TV, like as heteronormative, like, you know, beautiful, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. Like, no, everyone is different. Everyone looks different. Everyone's different sizes. Like, some people's husbands or boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever are bigger than them or are smaller than them. Like, you just have to start looking for that and then being like, oh, okay. And pointing it out more, because I think we're so used to like being like, oh, they're what I would have seen on TV and they're so beautiful and probably so happy and like all this stuff. And it's like not always true. And there are all kinds of different couples out there, and we just need to look at that more. And that's a thank you, more please thing that I think
for sure
like is easy to do as a starting point.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing that I'd say that I sometimes take issue with the idea of manifesting or the like TikTok manifesting things is like the idea that you having a difficult or hard emotion means that you're not manifesting. Do like I do think that this pressure to feel positively all the time, or this pressure to only have positive thoughts is just not very human. Mm-hmm. And so I think while practicing manifestation, while trying to reprogram your brain, like we talked about a moment ago, like prepare to freak out. And like, so when you freak out, instead of blaming yourself for freaking out and like getting deeper into the shame or anxiety spiral, because then you're like, stop freaking out, stop feeling bad. You're not manifesting. If you don't feel good, you must be resistant. You're not right. Instead, just like be on your own side. Be like, hey, this is really hard right now. It's not going to last forever. I'm here with you. And just like count on that being part of your process of attracting the best relationship of your life. That you are going to feel down sometimes. And with these practices, hopefully you'll shorten the downtime, you know, like shorten the gap between feeling great and feeling bad, like shorten it with compassion, with mindfulness, with, you know, that those sorts of practices. Does that resonate?
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels attainable.
Yeah.
Like realistic.
I hope that that's what this book feels like attainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Attainable is good.
And maybe not realistic in the way that the reality feels now, of like dating feels shitty. Maybe realistic in the way of like, oh, didn't know this was realistic. What if a joyful dating life was realistic? What if the best relationship of my life was realistic to me? Ooh, fun. Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think that that's something that I like, that reframing of it, because it's like, and it's hard to think like those things are real. And I think with, you know, that you could like sit down and like think through it in a way that's not scary is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you said, having like a best friend to go along with you on the ride. Yeah.
Who isn't like in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning like, you know, when your best friend is like, oh my God, okay, well, I met my husband in high school, so it's going to be like so easy for you. I just know it.
Yeah.
Let me give you all my advice for dating. You're like, right. Okay, well, there's no locker room anymore. And
right. Oh my God.
I'm not going to give it free period.
I hope that people feel that I've been in the trenches with them and with a lot of these stories. I did meet my husband with some of the in-person dating tools that I teach now. That's why I love that this book also shares the stories of a lot of people who've done this work as well, and found incredible results and joyful love lives and the best relationships of their lives. A very diverse set of people. So like there's a lot more, there's my story and there's a lot of stories in here as well.
I find your story so relatable. I mean, situationships and like all this stuff. I mean, I think that your stuff is very relatable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I want it to feel like I've got you. Like I see you. This is hard. Like, let's figure it out together. That's the vibe of the book. And I think that I hope people feel comfort when they pick it up.
I mean, you already got Nikki through step one. So,
yeah. You know, Nikki, already got me through step one.
I'm a DM away. Just if need you want to get into the next steps.
I just need to go to next step. Yeah.
Next chapter.
Chapter two. You've been chapter two. One.
Luckily, I have it on my phone.
You have an advanced copy.
Oh my goodness. So thank you, more please. A Feminist Guide to Breaking Dumb Dating Rules and Finding Love will be out when?
June 11th.
June 11th, and they can pre-order on Amazon now, I'm
They can
assuming.
pre-order on Amazon and bookshop.org. They can pre-order at the local bookshop. They can pre-order at Barnes and Noble. Like literally anywhere you would get a book, it's avails.
Okay.
And I hate delayed gratification. Like who likes delayed gratification? Not me. So that's why I created the best and juiciest pre-order bonuses ever. So when you pre-order the book, you can go to datebrazen.com/book and you can enter a screenshot of your receipt and immediately get access to the Thank You More Please Club, which has dating workbooks that only my clients usually get,
Oh,
has
wow.
coaching sessions where I've coached on recordings from past pre-order club calls where we've talked about how to do co-conspiratorship, how to get your friends on board with helping you more effectively, how to do the Thank You More Please challenge. And in May, there's a live coaching session coming up just for the pre-order folks on how the hell to meet someone in person. There'll be a workbook for that as well. And there's a podcast listening guide. So, like, literally immediately upon pre-ordering, you can get all of these resources to change your dating life immediately before the book hits your doorstep. So, datebrazen.com/book.
I love that.
Yeah, because I had questions about meeting in person. We didn't even get to.
Get to. Yeah.
So this is perfect because then you can just join that. I know
Yeah.
everyone
Yeah.
has questions about that. That's the number one
Oh,
question we get.
it's figureoutable. It's figureoutable. I want to show you how before the book comes out ever. Like, so come be in the pre-order club. It's a fun place to be. And I'm really grateful for our conversation and thanks for, reading the book. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
And where can people find you just in case they want to follow you?
100%. The Date Brazen podcast has almost 200 episodes now. Very excited for that. At Date Brazen, DateBrazen on all social media, TikTok and Instagram, and datebrazen.com is my website. You can find out how to work with me there.
Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at Swipe That.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe Bat Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.